Garnana Antwa Garnapati Gum Hava Mahe Kavinkavina Mupamashravastamam Jyeshtara Jam Brahmarnam Brahmarnaspata Anashrindandu Tibhiseda Sadhanam Om Shri Maha Garnapataye Namaha Sada Shiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Pariyantam Vande Guru Paramparam Om Parthaya Pratibodhitam Bhagavata Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Gratitam Purana Munina Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamritavarshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatvamanusandadhami Bhagavat Gite Bhavadveshinim Sarvopanishado Gavaha Dugdha Gopalanandanaha Partho Vatsasudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gita Tamritam mahat yam brahma varunendra rudra marutah stunvanti divyaistavaihi vedai sanga padakramo panishadai gayanti yam samagah dhyanavasthita tadgatena manasa pashyanti yam yoginah Yasyantam navidusura suraganaha devayatasmai namaha Om sahana vavatu sahanau bhunaktu sahaviryankaravavahai tejasvinavadhitamastu mavidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Namaskar, everybody. Some people are remoting, very good. So, excellent. So, in any case, last time we learned Atma is a karta and a bhokta. But you came anyway, so a karta anyway. Or maybe some people took seriously that karta, so they don't not come to class, sit at home and watch. It's only a joke. I'm glad that you're here. If you can be in person, good. If you have to remote for some reason, this good. So just joke, don't take it any other way. So in any case, so the akarta bhokta, of course, is we're talking about atma, not about myself as the, not the physical body, the mind. Like this, because we're talking about viveka, and we'll get into more of that, of course, now, because we're saying all these instruments we have, they're needed for action to take place, like this. So one thing about this karta bhokta cycle I want to show, this is like one of the first classes I went when I started studying Vedanta here 10 years ago at Vijayji. One of the first things was shown, and it shows this karta bhokta cycle in this simple and way which really just shows about, you know, this, we say samsara cycle. It goes in cycles, everything just goes in cycles, cycles, cycles. How about this cycle? Very interesting. So like this. You have here point A, okay? This one isn't very strong. I'll go back to the black one, because the black one doesn't erase as well, but no problem. So, you have here point A, okay? Point A, maybe it's right now, you're okay. I'm okay, right? Things are okay. I'm not hurting too much. I'm not disturbed. I'm okay, like this. Balance, very good. So now I'm fine, so no problem. So now you tell me I'm a karta abhokta. Yeah, it could be, that's okay. I'm feeling fine. You know, family's okay, and not too much stress from anything. So, yeah, so I say, so yeah, maybe I'm a karta bhokta for now, like this. So this is point A. We want to stay in this point A. That's what we're trying to. That's the whole idea of heaven, swarga. Swarga means, you know, a better place like this. You know, like we all moved here from, none of us are natives where we're living now. I know that because you're all immigrants. Like, you know, you were born in another country. I grew up in another country. I'm a U.S. citizen, born here, but California, I never lived before. I moved here also. So we're all people that moved. So why do we move? You know, we go for some reason, but why do we do action? I want to get to a better place. That's really so. Swarga idea. Okay, this world is kind of okay, so at least promise that I'll get to a better place later. That's really what it is. But in any case, here, so now point A is things are okay. I mean, now what happens is at some point something happens, right? We don't want this point B to be here, but unfortunately, at some point, then point B is things are not okay for some reason or the other. Now things were okay, but now I don't know. Now this job situation is too stressful. Now, you know, now this family situation like this. Now something comes up. Now I'm physically, I'm not feeling well. So there is now, I'm okay, but now not okay. So not okay. Things, something doesn't feel right in this. So what do I do? I have to do, so what happens is I say, I am not okay. So I'm bhokta. I want things to be okay, but they're not how I want. So because of that, see means I'm going to do something about it, right? I'm not feeling as good, so let me go see doctor. Let me do the home remedy like this, right? There's this problem with family this, let me speak to the relatives this, make up for this, or do something about make things okay. And then so that I try to do, right? And then after some point, you know, this is to make it simple, we want to keep it simple, we go after some time, from something or the other, okay, now things are okay again. Because I want to be, I'm striving just to be in this okay, balanced place. Which actually the modern psychology, it accepts, okay, you can just be okay. You can try to maintain that okayness, right? You'll never be just fully happy, but at least you can maintain an okay place. Try to do things to maintain it like this. Where the neuroscience also thought our thought waves can only be in a certain place. And this is must be 20, 25 years ago, some Tibetan Buddhist monks came to the West, and they had all sorts of all the wires to test their brain waves, everything, all their physical functions. They tested them, and they themselves, these are ones who just stay like in retreat meditating. They didn't really have a desire to come, but the Dalai Lama coaxed them like this. So what happens until then? Neuroscience thought that certain brain waves that we have, that when we're in a very content, happy state, can only be sustained for a few moments like this. But these ones were off the charts for a long time, and they so totally changed neuroscience very recently. So recently they didn't think that something like this was feasible. But in any case, so what happens is, so because I'm not okay, so karta, I've become karta, and let me make it okay. And you know, okay, it didn't work, I'm back here. Let me still strive for it, let me do it. Now okay, now I did, now things are okay. Like this. Okay, till the next crisis, right? Till I have to put out the next fire in this way. Or I want to stay here, but that's not a possibility because it's not on solid ground, right? And I believe in the New Testament at some place that Jesus says there how that don't build your house on sand, right? Don't put it there. Here, right here where we live, you have to have your house bolted to the foundation because earthquake country like this. So what happens is, this is building my house in the sand is that I'm okay because I'm bhokta okay. But that's a temporary thing, and that depends on so many factors, and a lot of it depends on my own mind. because some people be a bigger crisis, but they'll still be okay. Yeah, they have to deal with some things, there's some emotional things or problem, but they're still deeper inside, they know they're okay because they're not just identifying on the experiencer enjoyer. So this is what happens is, by identifying with this cycle, this karta bhokta cycle is endless. Because why do I do something? Because I want to get to somewhere, experience something like this. And then I enjoy it, and then actually once I have it, once I do have I have something, I feel secure, I feel happy because of it. Now I want to also do activity to maintain it, right? Like this, I don't want it to go away. And then of course I can become not, even though everything is great, I become not okay because I'm afraid something will happen to it, right? I'm afraid of that. Like my wife was saying, because I wasn't home, so she said she's scared, locks the back door, she said, because she hears all, you know, these lip shootings. She said, oh, what's if somebody, I said, you know, these shootings, some public place, who knows what happened, but when does anybody come in this? So our mind thinks, oh, things might not be okay, let me do something to secure like this. So this is what happens. And as long as I identify as individual, as long as this viveka isn't there, then this problem will be there. Because, again, Vedanta is not going to solve the problem that, okay, there'll be no pain in your... Now that you have viveka, there'll be no pain in the body anymore. There'll be no external problems. You know, like people envision the heaven, their idea of heaven, that everything will be okay there. Okay, like this. It's not like this. If I know that I'm... Atma doesn't mean there can't be a headache, doesn't mean there can't be external problems like this. There was one movie that came out a few years ago called Awake, about Parahamsa Yogananda. Very beautiful movie they made about his life and everything. One thing there that happened within it is he went back to see his guru at some point. And it was very good. His guru passed away then, his Maha Samadhi, so it was very nice. He went back to India, everything for this. And then one of his brother disciples took care of his ashram here. When he came back, there was problem, quarrel, there was court case, everything with his brother disciple. I saw, this is one of the nice things in the movie, I thought. Why? Because shows, even if you're Paramahamsa, still, the physical world, there'll be problems. You can't avoid it. Impossible to avoid, because it's a world of change, and the world of change is change. There'll always be, you know, the ocean will never be quiet. If it's quiet, it's conditional for some time, the waves will come back. That's how it is. And an interesting thing, though, if there were no problem, if I don't have any problems, everything is going very smoothly, I'm not going to look into these things. So some dukkham is so necessary. So actually, if I have all sukham, all joy, all happiness, this I won't look into. If I have dukkham, a very, you know, very, very difficult life, I won't have to deal with so many problems all the time. I won't have the time to look into this. So that's why, very fortunate, that's why they say manushya, to have a human birth, we have to have papa punya mix. Not because of too much punyam, this is, I'm born as devata, meaning I'm born in a place where everything is okay. And so why will I look into this? I'll just enjoy. When that karma is finished, then now I have to put effort in again. And too much papam, too much difficulty, you know, I live in a place where, you know, too much difficulty, this hell, there's no time, effort to look, no possibility to look into this. So that way, having some difficulties, everything, it's good for us also. Because just otherwise, there'd be no reason to look into this in this way. So in any case, so this cycle, it's a very interesting thing. So you can't break this cycle. This cycle will happen. You can't stop the cycle. It's not possible. But the viveka, what we're looking into is seeing beyond the cycle like this. That this is just, that there is a different level, if you want to say, in this way. And actually a cycle, if anything is broken, then, you know, the cycle isn't there like this. So soon when he talks a little about karma yoga, there it's breaking the bhoktrutvam. Karma yoga will be not identifying with bhokta. All the results are God's hands. So I'm just karta, then there's no problem because I'm not doing it for me, finished, then there's no cycle like this. Or here, you know, if I see I'm a karta, I'm the observer, I'm sakshi, the action happens, body's doing something, speech is happening, mind is this, but I'm just the observer, then I'm not bhokta, then I'm not karta. Also, where's the cycle? It can't exist. So in this way, literally, once the cycle is broken through understanding, but not through, because how do I break the cycle through activity? What action are you going to do? Any action is within this cycle, because you can't, action won't break the cycle like this. So understanding breaks the cycle. Because even karma yoga means through understanding. Understanding, the results aren't mine. The result is mine, the result is the God's, like this, so then, this kind of thing. So this way, that's how karma yoga works and how Vedanta works, to understand, look beyond it, like this. In Rishikesh, if you go to Shivananda Ashram there, there's a big hall, Swami Shivananda's Mahasamadhi Hall. Very beautiful, very beautiful, very peaceful there. That's when I go to Rishikesh, that's what I would like to visit. That, and then go to Uttarkashi. Rishikesh is too busy, so I'd like just to visit there, namaskar this, meditate a bit, and go up to there. Please, have a seat, there's so many questions. Oh, you want. So like this. So on the walls they have these drawings. They made the story of Swami Shivananda's life. So the last one, they wrote down the jnani, or the saint, is the one who has broken the unbreakable chains of karma. Because this you can't. Action brings reaction, brings action. How are you going to break that? You can't. Like this. So the Vedanta is, this is how, through understanding. Understanding, and then by understanding, then that's the only way out. There's no other way out. Otherwise, how are you going to break it? Like this. Like that. So that's this little chart, which really shows a lot of insight on this. And why here, saying you're not doer, the karta, not the enjoyer, not the experiencer, the bhokta. And again, as we said, this we're hearing, and it makes maybe a little sense, but it takes a lot to look into. That's why when you start listening to, at first, it might not, you know, okay, maybe, and maybe I don't fully understand. So we have to take some time to look into it. That's when you start studying this, that's why I always recommend to people, you know, you come 6 months, you know, sincerely listen to this, everything, and do. After 6 months of it, you really sincerely try to understand, listen to it, didn't make sense of this, okay, it's not for you or whatever, put aside. But if not, how do you know? You know, it's like, you know, you didn't take the time, and then something like this, which is so invaluable, we didn't take the time to look into. So if you have opportunity like this, then, you know, it's good to take it and then see. So in any case, let us move forward now. So we're in, we did last time 20, so we're in 21 today, right? Yeah. So 21, it's on page 27 here. So chapter 2, verse 21. So chapter 2, yeah, so it's like close to the middle of the book, because what happens, each one was a separate booklet, I guess, and then somebody put it all together, so that's why you have a few page 27s of this. So it's more close to the middle of the book there. Kind of there. So it's in 2, it says chapter 2, second chapter, and number 27. I just put a bookmark, then I don't have to be looking for it each class like that. Okay, so let's chant part by part. Veda vinashinam nityam. Vinashinam nityam. Yaena majam avyayam. Yaena majam avyayam. Katam sa purusha partha. katam sa purusha partha kam ghatayanti hantikam kam ghatayanti hantikam. O Arjuna, whom can that person who knows this Atma to be imperishable, changeless, birthless, and decayless kill? And whom can instigate to kill? Right? Who can do the action? Who can be the instigator? Karai. Karta, the doer, and karaita, instigator. Just do like this either. So here, the rhetorical question, well, somebody who knows, who has self-knowledge, knows that they're the consciousness, the Atma, not the body-mind complex. How can they do anything? Like how can the objects, you know, there, some activities happening and everything, but the space, what can the space do? Can the space move things around, or can the space interact with something, or no, none of this. So Atma like the space, untouched. So it's the Atma not just doesn't do, but it can't. It's not in its purview. Everything within its purview. So it's like the elements get together and want to do something. The earth, meaning solid, and heat, fire, and movement, the wind, like this. Then they can do something. But the space wants to also do something. It'll feel left out. Oh, it's not fair. I want to do something too. Why me? It's its nature. It's thing with its nature. So Atma, the self, doesn't do. So somebody who knows that they're the self, how can they, you know, what are they going to do? What to do? They'll know the body is doing something, the mind is doing something, they're doing, but they know that they're not doing. How can I, like this, in this way. Years ago, Swami Ram Surupanandaji, one time when he was staying with us, then there was some dance program, because my wife's Odissi dance, always something going on. So one of the students, when she saw him, Namaskar Swamiji, how are you doing? So I said, oh, is Swamiji, he's human being, or is he human being or human doing? And how are you being? He loved that. So whenever I would speak to Swamiji, I'd call, Swamiji, how are you and how are you doing? He would always say, am I doing or being? Are you human being or human doing? So I identify with the doing and not being, because the being, it's too subtle that I am. So subtle that I don't think I can understand that one. So I identify as this one, as the limited one. And it seems, well, how can this be? So in any case here, Veda Avinashinam, this one, Veda one knows, Avinashinam, one is, one that doesn't decay, doesn't change. Avishim Nityam, which is eternal, right? Yaha Enam, this, the one who knows this. Ajam, birthless. Avyayam, changeless. So the person who knows this, how can this one be doing? Katam how, Saha Purusha, this person. O Partha Arjuna. Kam Ghatayati, how can that person cause an action to happen? Here, killing, because talking of the war, but of course, meaning any activity, how can he cause this person, cause an activity, hantika, and how can do some activity, either of these. So this Veda here, to know, this one knows. Then what to know, there are two steps, you can say two-step process to knowing, okay? Because if we want to, like this, so first step is the Viveka. Atma, Anatma, Viveka. What are you in essence, and what are you not in essence? So whatever is intrinsic to you has to always be there. If it's not intrinsic, there's intrinsic and conditional. Like the example of this little table we have that I put everything on, as we said before. Intrinsic to it is wood, because it's made out of wood. So that's intrinsic, the intrinsic property. It'll never be made something other than wood. You know, this way. What's conditional is this funny color somebody painted. It used to be white. Then somebody some years ago put it as an altar in one of the dance programs, painted it gold, put this red thing around and everything. So the color is conditional, like that temporary. or the clay pot. The pot shape is conditional. The clay is essentially there. You can't do any, it temporarily has that shape. At some point the shape will go, but the substance is the same, regardless what the shape is. Well, better than that is you take the Play-Doh the kids play with, because then, yeah, they make some shape, and then they, you know, make another shape, but the substance stays the same. So something is conditional, something is constant. So whatever is conditional can't be something's in its nature, because it's conditional. Just under certain conditions, it'll be like that. Other conditions, it won't be like that. Now, if everything within me was that type of thing, conditionally it's there, then how come I feel that there's something constant, right? Who I was yesterday, I was still myself, right? A week ago, I was still myself. 7 years ago, I was still myself. Though not one cell in the body that I have now was there 7 years ago, I say it's still myself, right? Childhood, I was still myself. Somebody say, I remember, you know, my previous lifetimes. Previous lifetimes, were you still yourself? In the dream, you're still yourself. Totally different situation, but you're still yourself. Meaning something is constant there. But what is changing can only be there conditionally. Like here's an example of conditional, right? Seeing. Isn't seeing conditional? Because now I close my eyes. Am I now? I close my eyes, right? Let's say some reason now I can't see. Now, am I not myself anymore? Am I just 75% Gajanam, right? I'm 75%, not fully me. No, I'm still the same. So seeing is conditional, right? I feel my body. Like we know somebody, when she was young, I don't know, 18, 20, whatever, hit and run in San Francisco, and she's very fortunate. What happens is, she fell on her head, and they took to the hospital, and there would have been, blood hemorrhage in the head. That's dangerous. You die from it very quickly. But they had some experimental thing, literally the top part of the skull they took out. They kept it somewhere. She had to be for a long time at home, just with cloth here on her head, helmet, whenever going out with a helmet to be safe, like this. So what happened? She couldn't taste. We did? She couldn't taste, like this. Young lady. Now she's, the whole thing worked. Now she's fine, can taste, has children, married, everything like this. A miracle how she survived. But she couldn't taste. Was she now that she can't taste? Is she not herself? No. So Atma is what's always there. What's conditional is what's there just some of the time can't be your essentially you, or it'd be there all the time. Okay, now this long talk, on a weekend morning, right? So you get a little tired, so you put your head down, you take a nap, right? Here it's a small class, so you can't sleep. Lakshmi's video isn't on, so she can sleep.
Oh no, I'm listening.
I'm teasing you. It's okay. Not a problem. We need something to laugh at some of the time in the class. So you get tired, you put your head down, you sleep. Now, from your perspective, where's your body? Not your spouse's perspective, it sees you snoring away there, says you were lazy on the weekend, you slept. But from your perspective, where's your body in your dream? You don't experience your body in the dream, right? You have some imaginary idea of something that you are there. But your physical body's not with you. So physical body, and you say, I'm the physical body. What do you mean? I feel it. When you're paying attention like this, you're listening, I'm talking, you don't think of the body. Now you're thinking of the body because we brought the attention back. When you're not thinking of it, you don't feel the body, you're identifying with the body? No. So feeling the body is also just in certain conditions it's there, like this. So how can it be body? Senses. How can it be thoughts? Right? Descartes is very famous, probably for many other things, mathematics, philosophy. But the one thing that people quote him so much is, I think, therefore, I am. And then anybody learned a little meditation or Vedanta laughs and says, well, of course, I think there are. So what happens when you don't think? Do you disappear? Right? We should have, that's why I say Descartes, we need to invite him to meditation class, teach him to focus in the breath. Did you, was there a few seconds where you didn't think? Yes, I didn't think for a few seconds. Were you there? Oh, I was, oh no, I have to change it. So we say, first you have to be I am. After I am, then I can think, otherwise it doesn't work. So your mind isn't always, even though the mind might be running around so much, and I say my mind is troubling me, my mind is too busy or this, are you that mind? If you're the mind, it has to always be there, but it's not always there. So in this way, none of these things are essentially you, because otherwise, if they were essentially you, they'd have to be always there. So this first viveka, I'm the one who's always there, right? I am and I'm aware, that's always there. You'll say, no, I had a deep sleep, I wasn't aware. Say, really, you had a deep sleep, you weren't aware? Yes, I slept very well last night. Good, very nice. How do you know you slept well? Right? Oh, I woke up refreshed. But how do you know you slept? Well, I was aware there was not that I experienced nothing. Right? You know that there was nothingness. So you were aware? You were aware too. It's just you didn't have the instrument of the body, mind, senses to experience it like you experience other things. But you were there. Otherwise, how do you say? So that shows even that you as awareness is always there. You cannot think of any situation where you're not there. That's why there's fear of death. I think I'll die. What will happen? I will cease being. What will happen? But the thing is, okay, we'll get into that now anyway. So we don't have to get into this whole idea. But in any case then, so first viveka, atma anatma viveka, I the conscious being, and the body-mind complex. That's why we did the, we talked about the five sheets, panchakosha, and all the different parts in there, because the seeing, hearing, tasting, the thinking, the moving, all energy, life, all these things, they're things that are have to do with the instrument, but not with I, the conscious being. So what belongs to the body-mind complex, the three bodies or five sheets, and what belongs to, what is Atma, like this. So that's first, to look closely and see the difference between the two. Like this. What is not constantly there, what is constantly there. What is subject, what is object? Because I'll say, I see, so eyes are object are subject, but we said, no, eyes aren't subject. Without thinking, you wouldn't be able to see, so the becomes object. Seeing is the object of thought. But then you say, thought is the object of me, the awareness, I'm aware of thoughts. So not sense is not mind. I'm the observer. What is subject? Constant. Subject is constant. Object may change like this. So this is first thing. Understanding the difference between the two. Looking into this closely. And it takes patience to look into, as we said, because it's not obvious at first. Because it's something I haven't looked into. Right? Like this. Why should I look into this? So here, because we say, well, that's necessary in order to, if you understand that difference, even a little bit understanding that difference gives a big buffer. Okay, the mind is noise, mind is disturbed. I'm aware of disturbed mind. Okay, let the mind do. And then if I'm aware of it, it helps me to get out of it, and it'll quiet down on its own pretty soon anyway if I don't identify with it. Because I'm not adding fuel to the fire, you can say. So this is the first thing, to understand the separation. Then if you can understand the two disparate things, then seeing which one am I? Mm-hmm. Am I the awareness, the conscious awareness, or am I this body-mind complex, which one? And then owning up to which one I am, and obviously the conscious awareness, because I'm always conscious and aware, not the body-mind complex can't be what I am in essence, because it's, change as for all the things that are changing and I'm aware of it and all this. So first is the viveka and then the owning up, identifying with, like this. And actually one point, this a lot of the structure, basic structure points in the class, some basic things, and of course we elaborate on this so much, taken from how Swami Paramarthanandaji had taught Gita, and this is his text, his translation, everything. If you ever go to Chennai, he teaches a lot of classes there. Very senior disciple, Swami Dhananji. So, like this, what happens is to own up to this one, is what we have to do, to separate and then own up to this one. Not to just stay because it's... So we look into closely and then we change to look at this in this way. We can say it like that. So what he says is on Paramarthanandaji, if we remember, we pointed out there are three in the Vedantic sadhana, Vedantic inquiry, there are three parts, three different limbs that we use. One is Shravanam, which is closely listening to this, to what the teachings. And then Mananam, reflecting on them. You take it, you think about it, you reflect. Something's not clear, you ask about it, to make it clear, so that what is being pointed out is clear. And then Nididhyasana, meditating on it. And he said, this is the Nididhyasanam. Okay? There's the two different ones, right? The changing, the unchanging, the conscious being the body-mind complex. Living up, owning up to being, I'm the consciousness, not the body-mind complex. Like this. So putting the, seeing from that point of view. Well, you know, soon we'll start in the class, we'll do some meditations on to get an idea how to do like this. So in any case, so this... This is some points about it. And also, if I take the body, take that part of it, then we say, okay, this body, what is this body, right? So this morning, earlier today, not just, you know, an hour before we all came for the class, then there was a cup of tea sitting there and a piece of toast sitting there, right, on the table. I observed them. They were sitting there. Is that me? No, that's not me. That's, right? Now that's, you know, now 2 hours later, they've already been consumed and they're inside. Now am I going to say it's me once it gets consumed, once some of it becomes the cells? I'll say, yes, that's me. Now, in some ways, of course, whatever makes up me, some of the things eventually, in different ways, they leave the body too, right? In different ways, we expel things from the body. Once something is spelled, I say it's me. No, that's not me. Like this. So, in this way, whatever is physically making this body is taken from the world. And that's all going back to the world. It's never separate from the world. Just like the wave in the water. It's never separate from the water. Part of the water. We go here to the bay, you see waves. There's the wave and there's the bay. No. The wave is everything it's made of is from the water in the bay, and every moment is a different part of the bay, because every moment some water left, some came in. So I can just say it's something, I'm something separate from everywhere else. Just any kosha you take, any level you take, energy level, part of the whole energy. So you can't say it's something separate to begin with. So which part, if I'm an individual even, which part am I? There's no one part that I am, just like a wave is not a separate thing. So even from that perspective, you can say, you can't see you're something separate like this. So in any case, so in this way, by looking into you slowly see more, I'm the constant one. The karta, the doer, isn't a constant one. The doer, actually that I'm a doer is a thought, right? I'm doing something, I'm speaking. That's a thought. A thought is just a, you know, is one, just like a, you know, when the, like the light in the, we have the lights here, it's a frequency, there's a frequency, on off, right? It's just more than 16 per second, so it seems constant to us. If it was lower, less than, when you see it's flashing, means less than 16 per second, because our eyes can perceive then. So frequency, so one thought will be one thing. So a few thoughts like this, I'm karta, I'm doer. So it's really just a pulsation. Pulsation, I'm doing. But that's a pulsation. So meaning I'm doing is an idea. That I'm doing is an idea in the mind, right? So how can I be that the thought? I'm there whether the thought's there or not in this way. But in any case, there are just a few points about it. But the main thing here is pointing out that I'm the one who's constantly like this. Not that. And slowly see the difference, and then I just learn to identify with the non-doer consciousness, the one who's constantly there like this. Let's move to the next verse as well today. I'm surely Vijay Kapoor Ji's student, because he'll come to class he'll say, today we're going to cover these two mantras. He barely doesn't even get to the first one sometimes. So many other things to talk about. But it's not that there is a, you know, but because there's so much other information like this to go into. That's why studying this thing isn't, we have to cover 10 verses, 5 verses. It's, you know, what we learn from it, what we look into. That's the important thing. So in any case, so number 22 here. Vasansi jirnani yatha vihaya. Vasansi jirnani yatha vihaya. Navani grihnati naro parani. Navani grihnati naro parani. Tatha sharirani vihaya jirnani. Tatha sharirani vihaya jirnani. Anyani sanyati navani dehi. Anyani sanyati navani dehi. Just as a person gives up worn out clothes and puts on new ones, so also this Atma gives up worn out bodies and attains new ones. Navani grihnati nara aparani. So interesting in the here, this Atma gives up, but here in the verse itself, the person gives up. So the person gives up, so interesting how put both of them, one in the word by word, one in the actual. Because naraha you can take as either one. This is an interesting thing with the Sanskrit, is, you know, I know very little of it, but the nice thing in it is the meaning of the word is conveyed in the word. It's not that just something was given a label, but the grammatical root is in there. So like manushya, this name manaha or manavaha, man comes from this, comes from the root man, to think. Because, you know, there are many living beings, but we're the ones who have developed intellect. So it comes from root think, to think like this. Naraha nariyate, one who is does not, who is immoral, doesn't die, one who doesn't die. So you can say either one. So here, so that's why, like in Gita, depends on the context which word is used. So here, naraha used, so could mean the jivatma, the individual, could mean atma like this. So it's a good, and that's a good reason why this was used. It says okay, just like, you know, old clothes, you know, we're finished. You know, throw it out. Salvation Army better nowadays. But some of the time, with some old clothes, I say, should we give to Salvation Army? Or says, no, 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 it's too bad. Throw it out. Nobody's going to take. Just throw it out. But, you know, some places, then of course, you'll wear again. Other person will wear. They'll stitch it, everything, and then it'll become a rag, and then it'll never be finished. Never be thrown out because they're... But in any case... things get recycled like this. The body is given like this. So what happens is, just like the old clothes. So now what happens is, meaning, what is death? It says like throwing off the old clothes. You know, you get rid of the old one. So what happens? So what dies? What do we mean by death? Like this. So here we say, well, what is death is... the physical body goes, sthula sharira. Remember, we were three levels. Sthula, the gross body, physical. Sukshma, the subtle, the mind, energy, all this. And then karana, the causal body, the subtlemost, like the seed body. Deep sleep, we only identify the seed body, right? Because the others, you don't identify them. So, from the perspective of the sukshma sharira, the subtle body, the body, you know, this body drops, and then it continues to exist without it, like that. And then, of course, what happens is then, if I'm born again, then new one comes up. Just like, you know, outside, some plant comes up, you have some nice tulips growing, and they're nice flowering this, then if they decay and go away, now the plant is gone. Now it comes up again the next season, because the bulb was there. So something stays, something is temporary. So the body goes, but where does the body come from? From my karmas. Like, since I still have, let's say when you go to sleep, if I'm totally content, totally peaceful, I'll just go into deep sleep and enjoy. But I have still some desire, I want to get to something. I still feel I'm missing out on something, right? I guess it came from psychology, somebody brought it up. I have FOMO. When I first heard FOMO, I kind of figured out what it is, right? Fear of missing out. Oh, they're doing something. I really, why can't I? Can, my brother's doing it, or a cousin, or some. Oh, I really need to. Why can't I experience that too? These, you know, I want to also. So that dream comes from FOMO. I want. But it, so then I need, I'll create the whole dream in order to experience. So I die, still there is the unfulfilled desire, expectation, this. So I'll come back in order to experience. I need the instrument to do it. The dream, you need the whole dream world to create in your dream individual. Here you need the physical body in order to interact. Without the physical body, how can you interact here? What can you do? No interaction possible. So the address, you know, your address for, you know, being. People play games now. They call it, they took the name Avatar, right? Their character there, and people go online, play games with other people. So they have to have their character, their login to interact. Otherwise, how they interact, right? Create a login, then you can play. I don't know these things as I don't play them. Years back, a few board games, I played a few times online, and then you are actually playing against somebody. This now they've more fancy and everything. So in this way, so you need, I need some, a body here in order to interact. Otherwise, how will I interact? Both by action and by experiencing here. So this way, it's, that's needed for it. So from the sukshma sharira, subtle body perspective, it drops the external layer like this. Whatever type of experience it has without the body, and then it says, I want to go back to the next round, right? I have unfinished business, so come back like this. So get a new one, you know, go to the body shop and get a new one, and then come into it. And then afterwards, then it keeps going like this. That's from the sukshma sharira, the jivatma, the individual's perspective. What about from atma's perspective? How does it go? What happens from atma's perspective?
Nothing changes.
From atma, what, you know, it's like from the waker's, the dreams from the waker's perspective. What, you know, it's unreal. From atma perspective, there's no my body, this, that's, not here, later in Gita, we didn't see. Shri Krishna says, idam shariram kaunteya kshetram abhidiyate. This body is this body is the field of experience. This body, it doesn't say my body, your body, this body, from Atma's perspective, like from the space perspective, we say this is our planet, our Earth, our very special place. This is our solar system, our neighborhood, not like those guys in that other solar system. We don't, you know, they get it, got it all wrong, whatever. That's not our place. But from the space's perspective, which place belongs, which doesn't. So from Atma perspective, which one? Think about one thing, because next week we won't have a class because I'll be away, so just one weekend. Afterwards, we're back to usual. Think of this one thing during that week and contemplate on, like this. In the dream world, right, when you're having a dream, you're seeing something from one angle as the individual. But who? What is behind all the space, all the whole space of the dream? Where is it? Where is that? Isn't that also just your own mind? You're present in every speck, every tiny point of space, every speck of dust in the dream, you're behind it, right? You identify with a small part of it, with I'm this individual, but the whole dream is just projection of your mind, meaning everything, you're behind everything there. You're not limited by anything there. Everything there is you. You're the space, the whole space behind the dream is you, the one space. So from the perspective of the awareness, the whole dream is just depending on you. You're in it through everything, the dream. But you identify with one small part of one aspect like this. Very interesting. So if we can see this in the dream later, we can shift it to the waking. But in the, just think of it in the dream. First you just see the dream. Because we don't think of that. We say, I dreamt and this happened. Oh, it was so wonderful. I really, you know, had a great time like this. Most of the time we don't see that. Most of the time it was more, I was afraid of the dream or something going wrong. But, you know, we can have that one too, like this. So then, but then if I just look at it like this, but we don't analyze the whole dream world. Where is it? The whole space? I'm the space behind the whole dream. I'm in and through all the space of the dream. It's only me. No, nobody else did it. Very interesting. So from Atma's perspective here, what do you mean, this body, my body, this body? I have one field of experience. I'm aware. If you just think I'm aware, within the awareness, seeing comes and goes. Yeah. If I don't see, yeah, same awareness is there. So the seeing comes and goes within the awareness. I hear. Yeah, hearing comes and goes within the awareness. I think, you know. Thinking comes and goes where? It comes and goes within the awareness. I have sense of touch, so I feel, right, throughout the body. Yeah, sense of touch comes and goes within the awareness. From awareness perspective, things just happen to appear, come and go, but awareness remains the same, not touched by, so space-like awareness, we say, in this way. So from Atma's perspective, you can't say, you know, a body like this, that in this way. Now, it says, like, old clothes are thrown out, right? Those clothes are thrown out. So when I have a pair of old clothes that is precious to me, oh, this, you know, when I, years ago, my mother gave to me this when she was still alive, da da da, da like this, so I have some sort of emotional value, but then other family members, it's torn, it's old, it's not good, just so we throw it out. So for a little while, I still have some nostalgia to it, right? A while later, when there's so many other sets of clothes thrown out, am I going to think about it? I won't even remember it. You know, somebody will say, oh, you remember that nice clothes, this, he threw out there. Oh, yeah, I remember, yeah. And then I'll forget. So imagine how many sets of physical bodies I've used and thrown out, like that, like clothes, all the clothes when I was a kid. Do you remember clothes as a child that were thrown out because they got old? Do you remember them now? Or remembers, right? So if so many bodies came and went, I threw them out. Am I going to remember that now? What is it to, that's like the old clothes that are gone that I don't think about. Well, I think about this. I think now this is a very special, this body now. Oh, now it's something. But the one, if the ones won 10 lifetimes ago, if I remember. So actually they say that God is very, you know, they say, why don't I remember previous lives? The whole setup will be made very well. No, just think of in the dream. You're in the middle of a dream. If you remember all the other dreams before it, it's going to be so hard just to figure this one dream out, deal with it. All the dreams at once, you'll go crazy. So if this lifetime now, I remember, you know, from a few lifetimes ago, these relatives and these friends and these situations, just to deal with the situation you've now, it's enough, right? Already overwhelming. Imagine so many to remember how overwhelming it's going to be. How much more stress it'll be in this. There might be some good things because, you know, probably like a lot of Ukrainians were in Russia less, or Russians in Ukraine, you know, Pakistanis were in India and India. So then at least it'll even things out. Oh, those are my people. And so there's no difference of us. We're all one people. So maybe it'll do some good. But in general, too much to deal with. So it's good I don't have to remember because of this. But in any case, if let's say now somebody will say, yeah, five lifetimes ago you were this and this. It's so much ago and I'm identifying this one. That one is just something like some past. So then how many have come and gone? They come and go. So what's right now seems to be very important. Just like you're in the dream, right now this is really something. I'll remember some previous dream. It'll be in the dream. Remember previous dream? That's like a dream also. In the dream, I think that was a dream before. So it's not, but this situation right now, this is really something. Now it's very important, you know. But that's gone. Your childhood, you remember your childhood, right? But, you know, it's like, you know, literally, you view your childhood differently at different times in your life because you're just seeing from a different perspective. It could have been a very good child, but later you're feeling of bad things about it like this. Because you just changed perspective, but really it's just subjective right now how you think of it. But that's like something far away. Am I going to remember what's so far? So the thing is, what's right in front of me now identifies very strong, but when it's gone, then what? So that's why the body like this, now because it's something, but then later when it's gone, you know, other lifetime this, what is this body from this one? No, it's just some memory like this. You know, and literally body is a memory, because first of all, my thoughts, everything go into it. And when I'm just present, where is it? But my memory comes and then I identify with it. If I'm just present, the child is running around, it doesn't think of body or this, you know. But for it's a memory because I hold on to. If you know, you're doing some actions, you're just present. What do you think about body? You don't think of it. Only when you start taking history and perspective in this memory, then okay, this one is, then I identify with this. So this interesting thing. So which perspective, you know, you look at? So from Jivatma, individual perspective, yes, I'm born, and then, you know, I get the body, and after some time it'll go away, and then to my karma and everything, I will, you know, go wherever I go, I'll come back, and then I have to continue doing my, after some respite, I have to go and continue according to my karmas, my actions, my desires, this, get another round to work this, like this, yes, body will come and go. That's from one level, but from higher level, from consciousness perspective, ajaha, right? Not born, you're never born, you never die, just like in the dream, is apparent in this way. So this is, depends on the level which you look at it, like this one. So this is the important thing to remember this, because what happens is when people look at it, they always say the Atma takes on the body, the Atma drops a body. People say like this. Mm-hmm. They also show in different, you know, because they want to portray it. So when they show it in some movie or series, they showed like the light leaving, going away, the Atma leaving this. But the Atma can't come and go, then the Atma will be limited. Remember we said Atma Sarvagata, all pervading. Where are you in the dream? Dream, you're all pervading. You seem to be limited one place, but you're all pervading the dream. So Atma is not something limited, seems to be limited. Like this, I seem to be. Because body, mind are limited. The light is all pervading this room, but the light, when you look on my hand, the light shining on the hand seems to be limited to the hand. Seems to be. But it's not, when the hand is gone, oh no, what happened to that light? Well, it's still all pervading. It just isn't reflecting on this hand. So seems to be. So this is the difference, how it's looked at. So from deeper perspective, Atma, there's no coming and going, no beginning, ending, it's just apparent like this. This is the important point that's brought up over here in this one. So very nice. So let's stop here for today, and then we can continue the others next time. Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. So, any questions somebody may have regarding what we discussed this class or any of the classes, then we can discuss for a few minutes. You didn't hear the last few classes? You haven't heard recordings for it or anything?
I listened to the first day, okay. Again, but I have okay. Not gone through it.
Because the one thing that we did discuss with the three bodies and five sheaths, that'll be very helpful. I should have some illustration of it. I'll send it to you, at least with the names. And then if you hear some of the talks then, because some of what we refer to is kind of discussed then. Next class I can give a small, brief review if you like, next time we meet also.
I've heard it, yeah, but I don't understand it, like the Panchamaya Kosha.
Panchakosha, the different levels, the layers I have, my physical body, the energy, thoughts, the intellect, and the when you drop all them, I'm still there, we call the Ananda Blissi. When you're in deep sleep, you're still there enjoying like this. That you're not, the consciousness isn't any of these. These are like instruments for your instruments, but not you. You can say like this.
Yeah. I was kind of confused with like, what's the difference between like a yoga and like, I know you're saying like object, I don't know, I just don't understand. I'm kind of not seeing the difference. I feel like I need someone to explain.
Between what and what?
Like Vedanta and yoga. Like what are the, what's the...
Yoga will be, well, depend from philosophical, yoga is a very good tool, very good tools for creating balance and making the mind less restless. So then it gives it, your instrument is prepared well, you can say. But Vedanta is looking deeper, what, you know, who you are. Are you this instrument? What are you in essence? Because as we said now, between the body-mind complex and the consciousness, you the awareness, seeing the difference between the two. So yoga helps to create a balance. If you're more balanced, lifestyle, balanced mind and everything, then you can look at it closer. Because imagine my mind is very confused, very disturbed, and I'm not feeling good. It's very hard to look into. But then when there's more of a balance, then I can look into it more closely. So it's a very good preparation. Because without it, it's much harder to look into these things. So, like, this is the difference, really, between them.
Is it focus on, like, the senses more, like yoga?
Yoga deals, actually, in the end, more with the mind. Okay. Because the body is used, body and breath use as a tool for to get to the mind. Because the mind directly dealing with this isn't as easy. So by stilling the body and regulating the breath. And then other auxiliaries too, that's just one thing, you know. How I do my actions in a more righteous way and everything, so that my mind then is, you know, my mind will be a more peaceful place if I act in certain ways. Then it deals with the mind, so making the mind a very balanced place like this. Because look, the ultimate goal of yoga, samadhi, learning how to just quiet the mind. But it's still dealing with the mind there. Vedanta is learning to see beyond the mind, seeing there's mind, and I'm the awareness, but the awareness isn't the mind, it's something else. It's not affected by the mind. Seems to be, but isn't affected by the mind. The mind is noisy, I'm aware of a noisy mind. Mind is quiet, I'm aware of a quiet mind. If I identify with the mind, now mind is quiet, oh how wonderful, from yoga. Now mind is noisy, now I feel disturbed. From awareness perspective, I'm aware of the different states of mind, you can say. But then again, if the yoga helps to get to more balanced and subtle place, it's easier to look at it like this, in this way, okay? Yeah, slowly, slowly, a lot of these things, you know, we hear again and again repetition slowly from the different angles we discuss and make sense. So if you feel lost some of the time, it's okay, give it some time. But do ask questions like this, don't feel shy, don't think, I have a question that's not relevant or not, you know, silly question. It's a question just ask, we can discuss a little like that's no problem. Very good. So if no further business, then the meeting can be adjourned. So don't forget, next week we won't have class because I'll be away, but in 2 weeks we'll continue as usual, okay? Very good. So namaskar, see you all soon. Mm-hmm.